Kathy is here now to talk more about her three-part series, Growing Old LGBT. Hey there, Kathy.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
I'm all right. So let's start with the story that just aired about trans elders. Clearly, this population is facing a number of hurdles as they age. Which do you consider number one?
You know, that's a tough question, but I really do think it's a lack of cultural competency within the medical and aging fields, because that can lead to neglect, indifference, even abuse. In the trans elder story, we heard from Joseph Burwell, who is a physician assistant, and what he's doing is really remarkable in that he's working with PA students to teach them about this community because there's a real need. Here's Burwell.
And one of the ongoing concerns and complaints is, where can I find a doctor? Where can I find a clinician? And either the qualified ones have full panels and aren't taking further patients, or they don't take the insurance that this person has, or this person has no insurance and is willing to pay out of pocket. There just aren't enough clinicians out there.
Long-term care is also a very real concern for many LGBT elders. Trans elders, however, have some unique challenges.
A lot of people who are older, transgender, and have never had gender confirmation surgery, and when they go into a nursing home, if they're not in a trans-friendly nursing home, and I'm not sure that those exist, then they may be misgendered because of their natal genitalia. And they may be placed in with the wrong gender right off the bat.
So, Kathy, how do you go about training providers and those who work in the aging services field?
I had the chance to watch a training that was being offered by the Pima Council on Aging, and it was really eye-opening. First, staff watched a video that gives some context about what it was like growing up LGBT in, say, the 1940s, when being gay was considered a mental illness. And from the gasps in the room, I think it was surprising to some. Sandy Davenport led that training, and her goal is to try and get these providers to identify themselves as LGBT-friendly. Because older LGBT folk may not talk about their sexual orientation or gender identity openly, and that can have consequences in terms of care, as I mentioned earlier. Now, if a facility is out, so to speak, like the community I visited in the first story, it's quite remarkable what can happen. Jessica Meyer works at Beatitudes Campus, which I visited for part one. She's in her early 30s, and she's out, and that matters to LGBT elders.
Folks who move here in their 80s and may have always identified outwardly as straight and maybe have always considered themselves very truly to be straight can find themselves comfortable enough and supported enough to fall in love and start life anew with a wife, as is now the case, where they'd been married in the past to a husband.
Now, Kathy, something else you touched on was aging with HIV, and I frankly was surprised to learn that HIV ages people, causing additional health issues.
Yeah, that was really striking. You know, we've come a long way since the early days when AIDS was a death sentence, and today you can actually prevent HIV. But for long-term survivors, it's not just about keeping them physically healthy. Dr. Ann Kulsa is the medical director at the McDowell HIV Clinic in Phoenix.
I'm going to be stereotypical here. You know, the young gay guys who are used to going to clubs and party, and now they're in their 50s and 60s and they don't want to go to clubs and party, but many of their friends are deceased and they're now aging with illnesses and they're isolated. I have a lot more socially isolated aging LGBT patients, and there aren't the social venues set up for that age population.
Something else Kulsa and her team are seeing is dementia.
Not flat-out Alzheimer's, but although we do see that on occasion, but typically not, but just some mild cognitive memory impairment. They get a little more confused, or they miss their appointments, or they don't remember things, but then they get feisty or defensive or cantankerous, and we're not recognizing this, but we know that mild cognitive impairment accumulates with time with HIV, even on good treatments, at least what we're seeing right now with our long-term survivors.
So as you can see, Mark, this is really the tip of the iceberg. There are so many issues, and I was only able to touch on a few, but it's clear much more needs to happen in terms of getting the aging providers prepared to care for not just LGBT elders, but everyone who's getting older.
All right, that's KJZZ's Kathy Ritchie. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, Mark.